Hello, everyone. Welcome to the first episode of our Leading Hybrid Teams podcast. In this three-part series, we will explore three topics that will help you more effectively manage your hybrid team. The first topic, which will be covered in this episode, is FLSA and reestablishing boundaries. In the next episode, we will talk about how to reestablish relationships with your team. And finally, in the third episode, we will discuss performance evaluation. We hope that this series will prove to be a valuable resource for you. So let's dive in. During COVID, many of us entered the uncharted territory of remote work, but it quickly became our new normal. Now we face a new challenge. While most of the members of your team have returned to campus, there are still a number of you that have portions of your team that will remain on a remote work arrangement. Having a combination of individuals working both in office and from home can present potential problems. The goal of this episode is to discuss how the Fair Labor Standards Act impacts remote work and to give you a few tips on how to leverage the power of boundaries in managing your hybrid team. So to start, we'll talk about the Fair Labor Standards Act. The Fair Labor Standards Act is a federal law that was established in 1938 and is enforced by the Department of Labor. It was enacted in order to create right to minimum wage and overtime standards, specify record-keeping requirements, establish overtime threshold, and many other items as they relate to fair labor standards. For a more comprehensive definition of this, please feel free to visit the Department of Labor official website. And remember, non-compliance to any of the areas of this act can result in hefty fines for the university, so it is imperative that you have an understanding of how the act impacts remote work. There are three areas that I would like to focus on. The first is an area of scheduling. Because the tendency of work from home is to be more relaxed in a schedule and to allow work and personal time to blend. Each employee that is on a long-term work from home basis should have a telework agreement on file with the Human Resources Office. In this agreement, the schedule should be outlined and agreed upon by the employee and the supervisor. In this schedule, it outlines the defined start and end time for the employee. The work hours should take place during normal business hours, unless otherwise specified, and each employee is expected to complete the same amount of hours that they would have completed if they were working on site. Creating a schedule that is as close to the schedule that the employee's schedule was while working on site is typically what works best. This reinforces the idea that just because the employee's work location is their home does not mean that it should be a more relaxed environment. So that concludes that first step of really putting together that boundary. The next thing to consider is overtime. Exempt employees are not eligible for overtime, but this is definitely something that we have to consider with our non-exempt population. A normal work week for a full-time non-exempt employee is 40 hours. Any time in excess of the scheduled 40 hours is considered overtime. The university's work week begins at 12 a.m. on Monday and concludes at 11:50 p.m. Sunday. Off-the-clock work, whether voluntary or involuntary, cannot be permitted without compensation. Employers cannot accept the benefit of an employee's work without counting the time spent as work hours. This is why it is so important that the schedule is adhered to in a remote work situation, because it is so easy for an after-hour email or that phone call or working on a project to quickly add up and to add to overtime hours. An example of a non-exempt employee working outside of the normal work hours is if their normal hours of operation are 8 to 5 Monday through Friday, but they choose to work on a project for 2 hours on a Saturday. Whether the manager approved this or not, the university is still required to pay the employee overtime if they've gone over their 40 hours. It is always the duty of management to exercise this control and see that the work is not performed, and if it does not want it to be performed. To avoid any unwanted extra hours, make sure that these guidelines are clear with the employee and that they know the rules. If it persists, if you have an employee that continues to work during hours that are outside and rack up overtime hours, and they know that that they're not supposed to do that, then discipline may be necessary if their employee refuses to comply with the policy. In addition, another mechanism that can be utilized to help minimize overtime hours is to allow an employee to flex time within a work week. For example, let's say you have a team member that had to take a longer time working on a project during any given work week. If they work 10 hours one day, then a manager can allow the employee to flex their work week by working 6 hours on another day instead of the scheduled 8 hours. One thing, though, that is important to note with this process and flexing time is that you cannot flex across different work weeks. So it has to be done within the same work week. And just remember, it is the manager's duty to clearly explain these expectations and to make sure that non-exempt employees are not working outside of the bounds of their regular schedule unless absolutely necessary. This is, you know, more difficult to do with the work from home situation because personal time and work time tend to bleed into one another in those situations. But just remember to just clearly state those expectations in this situation. The next area that I would like to focus on are meal breaks. Meal breaks are one of those things that not a lot of people think about, and they're difficult to manage in a remote work environment. While the Fair Labor Standards Act does not require provided meal periods or rest breaks, however, Tennessee statute does require a meal break. Tennessee statute requires a meal break of at least half an hour for employees scheduled to work 6 consecutive hours, and this time period is not considered hours worked. So meal breaks shall not be scheduled during or before the first hour of scheduled work activity, and should also not be taken at the end of the day. Additionally, there are no automatic deductions for this, so this has to be taken. This needs to be clearly articulated to the employee to ensure that these breaks get taken when working from home, because it is so easy to work through lunch and to not even realize it. So I would like to end by leaving you with a few helpful tips, additional tips on how to create boundaries and establishing expectations that can aid you in creating a more cohesive team. So tip number one that I would like to leave you with: do not make a distinction between the portion of your team working from home and the ones working in person. The goal is to make everyone feel included. If everyone is constantly referred to by whether they work from home and remote work silos, then that creates division. Try to make things as even as possible across the board. This will go a long way to ensure that everyone feels included and that no one feels alienated for working remotely. Tip number two, level the playing field. There is no substitute for physical interaction and operating in an in-person environment. There are so many intangibles to working in person that are more difficult to convey through a screen. Since this is the case, a couple of ways to level the playing field are: consider doing Zoom team meetings. Rather than having some sort of hybrid meeting where some of the individuals that are there in person meet in the office, and then you have your individuals that are working remotely meet via Zoom and tune into that, why not make the entire meeting a Zoom meeting? Because there's just so many intangibles that you get when you're in person, and it's just so difficult to duplicate that. So level the playing field by just doing a Zoom team meetings. Also, limit the amount of impromptu meetings. We all know that those desk meetings at the end of the day are so easy and convenient to do when you're in person, but employees that are working on a remote basis don't have access to doing that. So just try to limit the amount of those and realize that when decisions are made, if the remote workforce is not present, then they need to be, you know, brought up to speed on those things, or just consider just calling a meeting to discuss these things. The last tip that I would like to leave you with is be clear about expectations. We discussed earlier how compliance to the Fair Labor Standards Act affects remote work. While these are not like non-negotiable and they have to be followed, there is practical wisdom that can be found within it as well, because establishing schedules and talking about expectations for how work is to be performed takes the guesswork out of things. Unmet expectations are often the root of frustration. So clearly communicate your expectations for both your in-person workforce and your remote workforce up front to help eliminate those frustrations. Over-communicate if you have to. There's no such thing, really, I guess in my opinion, there's no such thing as over-communication when it comes to these things. And that wraps up this week's episode of Leading Hybrid Teams. In the next episode, we will cover how to reestablish relationships in this environment.